before we dive in, let's set the scene for them. Mark, tell our listeners a little bit about us so that they know we're not just a couple of clowns that decided to start a podcast.
Well, I think we both know we are a couple of clowns, but that's not to say that. That's not to say that we can't bring a ton of value to our audience. So a little bit about me. Again, I'm Mark Koretsky. I'm now in my sixth year in mortgage lending, and I think you are as well, right?
Yep. This is my sixth year for me as well.
So I think it's safe to say we both seen some shit.
Definitely.
Yeah. it's been a wild ride, but really, man, I have a passion for helping people achieve the American dream of homeownership, man. That's what fires me up. And I hope this new endeavor that we're going into together is really going to help more people attain that goal. And so, I mean, as a first generation immigrant myself, I saw the power firsthand and the life changing nature that homeownership creates. It literally changed the entire trajectory for me and my parents and our future. And honestly, man, I can't wait to bring that to my fellow Texans.
I love
enough it. About me. What about you, man?
Yeah. So like you said, it's also my sixth year in the biz. And throughout the years, you know, we've been able to put our eyes on thousands of different scenarios, people from all kinds of different backgrounds, different situations, different upbringings. So kind of got that full picture and we've seen a lot. So, you know, with that being said, we're millennials, right? And our generation has a huge distrust in Big Brother, the institutions in power, the government, you name it, whatever the case may be, which has led to far too many people stepping away from the path of bettering themselves, whether that's from, you know, taking that self-pity position of woe is me, everything's, you know, too difficult to achieve, or just straight up doubting, you know, what is possible. And so that's kind of how I feel I fit into the puzzle, and both of us fit into the puzzle, is connecting those dots for people. You know, I work hard to be an educator, be an advocate for not only my clients, but my friends and for you, our listener, so that everyone can take, you know, beneficial, worthwhile insights, tips, lessons, et cetera, and immediately apply it to their lives to better their future. Thus, you and I getting together to make this podcast. So
that's awesome, man. I'm excited.
I'm super excited too. So we'll see kind of where it goes, but I think that it's definitely going to be something that's going to grow and add a lot of value to the people. So enough about us. Let's get into it. But before we kind of get into our big headlines for this episode, earlier we were having some water cooler talk, if you will, about some new developments that we just found out are happening here locally in the Plano area, right?
Bro, there's so much going on around here. It's tough to keep up.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, you have all these Fortune 500s moving here. You have so many jobs being created. You have the housing market that is fantastic in DFW. I mean, we're coming out of a 10-year period where it's just been growing exponentially, which has helped make a lot of people a lot of money. But it's just, I mean, there's so many different developments and new things going on. It's pretty cool.
And they all cater towards that young professional.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Our youth. It's probably, you know, when I very first moved to Dallas, I was surprised at how quote unquote young this city is. There's a lot of young professionals here getting started in careers or really, you know, starting to take their career to the next level. And like you said, it caters to our demographic, and it'll be exciting to kind of see how that continues to progress over the next 5, 10, 20 years.
And so with that being said, man, Willow Bend Mall.
We all like
shopping, right?
I like to shop.
How much better is it to go shopping and be able to sip on a beer or some wine as you wait for your girlfriend in that jewelry store, in that department store, and while you're sitting there on the bench just waiting for her to finish up, you get to relax and chill on a nice cold brew.
let's be honest, that's all that we're good for. Is carrying bags and
the occasional
waiting on
purse
the bench.
Carrier.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. I mean, I'm a professional purse carrier. You know, it's not a merce. No, I do not have my own purse, but I definitely am the bag holder. Yeah, you know, I mean, if it becomes fashionable, you know, to the extent that everybody's doing it, I probably still won't do it. But yeah, that, I mean, being able to shop and drink, I mean, that just brings two of, I think, you know, Dallas's top pastimes into one type of environment, which I think that that's a good thing, you know, from a business owner standpoint. You know, you get a little hopped up, you drink some beers, you drink some wine, like, I'm going to spend some more money. And, you know, I'm going to think I look great. I'm going to be standing in the mirror like, oh, yeah, this looks real good. And I'm going to get home like, what was I thinking? Although I probably should Uber from the mall, you know, now that I think about that.
Yeah.
But I thought that's pretty good. I like that.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I like that.
The other crazy thing is this movie theater that came in.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, tell the audience about it. It's crazy.
So I don't know if any of you out there are like my girlfriend and are like an obsessed dog parent. Actually, I think you're an obsessed dog parent.
I was about to say, it's not just girlfriends.
So basically what is coming to the Plano area is they have found a way to help people that are either – you know, going through withdrawals or just can't stand being away from their fur baby. And these theaters now are dog friendly, meaning that you can bring your dog to the movie theaters and they can watch the movies with you.
I love it. I wish my dog was good in public because I would be doing this all the time.
Yeah, you know,
that
brings up a good point. If somebody brings their dog to the movie theater and you're just chilling, you know, trying to watch the Avengers, and your dog gets worked up and just mauls the person next to you, like that could be a problem. So I guess it's have your dog
know your trained. Dog.
Yeah, you got to know your dog, know the environment. But I mean, gosh, I'm like afraid. I hope my girlfriend doesn't listen to this because now every single movie that we try and go see, she's going to say, oh, can we bring Oakley? That's the golden retriever that we have. And gosh, I already fight her on trying to just have a meal in peace without bringing him to a dog-friendly patio. Now we're just adding another element to that. So I'm sure she loves this. I'm apprehensive. I don't know which way I feel about this yet. But it's a good idea for those dog lovers out there. I think that that's a good progression, and we'll see kind of how that expands throughout, you know, DFW and beyond, see if it works for them.
I feel like you put dog friendly in front of anything and the customers will come.
Yeah, no, I do not think that they're going to have any problem marketing this. I think that they're going to be packed. Now, how this is going to work from a cleaning standpoint and everything else, I have no idea, but hey, they're trying. So, I can't really be mad.
Shout out to the dog friendly movie theater. It's at the Plano and Custer location. Check them out online.
Doing the Lord's work, as you would say, out here.
Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, I'm sure that I'll have to try this out here soon. So, cool, awesome. Well, one more thing, just for you, our listeners, before we get into the nuts and bolts of this, do us a favor, like, comment, share this podcast with your friends. If it brings any value to you, that will help us. Obviously, we're doing this to try and bring good information out to the community. And by you being a big proponent for us, that will really help us with getting this off the ground. And let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear on future episodes. And we'll see if we can figure out how to put those together and get those topics included so that we're bringing you content that is important to you. So, Mark, why don't you go ahead and take it away and jump into kind of the first headline here that we're talking about, which is rent is increasing, which is nothing new.
Surprise of the century, right?
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. You're paying more for rent this year.
Oh, man, it's insane. So, I mean, we all know every year rent goes up. And so according to the latest news, rents in the Metroplex specifically have increased about 31% since January 2011.
That's a lot for 8 years.
That is a lot. An average growth of, or no, not average, the minimum growth per year during those 8 years has been 2.9%.
Yeah, I think we're like almost 4% average on that. That's like 3.8 or something like that.
It's insane. It's insane. And I mean, that's still below the national average, right? Nationally, rent increases are about 3.2 to 3.5%. And so there's no sign of it slowing down, unfortunately.
Which is You know,
we keep putting up apartment complexes, but again, they're all catered towards that young professional. And what do we all want?
Well, you know, we
want that high end living.
We do. This is true. We are bougie. We are bougie. I can speak for myself, although I'm pretty sure I'm speaking for everybody out there. We can be bougie at times.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
Oh yeah. And so as well, Housing Wire came out. And so according to Housing Wire's report, there's approximately 43 million renter households in the U.S., nearly 100,000 less than there were in 2017. But despite the decrease, renters still paid out a record amount of rent in 2018, and literally more than the entire GDP of Belgium.
Wow. That's insane. That's pretty crazy.
Insane. And so, I mean, there's no sign of it slowing down, and it's exciting for us, right? In the mortgage industry and the real estate industry, there's no better time to get into it.
This is true. I mean, it's, even though we're coming out of a period where, you know, we've seen over the past 10 years, like I mentioned earlier, Dallas is just absolutely thriving in the real estate market. There's still a lot of room there. I mean, it's kind of a perfect storm that we're entering. You know, obviously millennials such as ourselves, we're kind of starting to think about purchasing a home and taking that next step. We're tired of renting. You know, one of the things that I realized when I, and it's not, you know, it's one of those things that's common sense that you just don't think about. If you are conservatively, and this is super conservatively, spending $1,000 a month in rent throughout your 20s, you've thrown away $120,000 on top of the money that you spend on student loans, on top of everything else, that you have nothing to show for. You maybe had a nice place. Maybe you felt good about, you know, having a landlord that you didn't have to quote unquote worry about repairs or anything like that. But honestly, let's think about that. In the 10-year period, how many times have you ever called the maintenance guy or your apartment, you know, your leasing office and said, hey, I need you to come fix this? Like, really, in 10 years, is it worth $120,000 to you? I don't know.
No, it's not.
It's not.
There's no way around it.
And that's just outflow. That's not even thinking about, you know, what you've lost in that 10 years when it comes to homeownership or things like that. Or, I mean, just putting the money somewhere else. That hurts. That's painful.
And it's not something that we think about as regular day folks. It's something that you and I are teaching our clients and our partners about, because again, the power of home ownership. But it's not being taught to us, right? Other than by the industry professionals that are out there educating.
I mean, it's the same thing it's a big flaw in the system, right? I think that the education system is set up to make sheeple. You know, people really don't understand all of the basic things.
Ain't that the damn truth?
That, you know, we need to know, from understanding how credit works, to understanding basic financials, you know, principles and responsibilities, to understanding, you know, investing and all of those type of things. It's housing is one of those big areas where people just aren't educated. And though, you know, we're kind of talking about millennials because we are millennials, this is relevant to any generation. I talked to 65-year-olds that have never owned a house that have, for the last 40 years of their life, been just making financial mistake after financial mistake because they were never taught better. And so it just continues that wheel of poverty or lack of, you know, reaching their full potential of what they can do in life, because they're running up against these roadblocks, you know, year after year after year after year. And some of that starts with renting. Now, does that mean that renting doesn't make sense for some of you out there that are listening to this? No, not at all. We're not saying that everybody here needs to buy a house. However, over the last, I mean, let's just call it like 80 years, real estate has been just as much a sure thing as the stock market in terms of the ways that it has grown and that investment has returned wealth over time. But the thing that I like about real estate is you own the asset. It's a tangible piece of property. It's not something that's online and something that can be dictated, you know, some like a dot-com boom that crashes the stock market. And yes, we just came out of a housing crash in 2008, but there's been a lot of things that have been put in place to kind of fortify that moving forward, so that we don't run into a situation like that again. And so I think that that's part of what we do, is dispelling that myth that, hey, you know, if there's another recession, if there's another economic downturn, that the housing market's going to collapse again and people are going to lose everything. I mean, I know that.
And that's something I think we're going to be talking more and more about as we are now, what, 10, 12 years removed from that recession?
Yeah.
It's inevitably coming, right? It's all cyclical.
We definitely are. And I think, you know, we had already mentioned that we're going to be putting together an episode, you know, addressing the impending recession and economic downturn and things that are associated with that. And it's coming. You know, we have been riding this great wave of a thriving and growing economy. At some point, it has to balance out. And that's actually a healthy thing. A lot of people look at that as a huge negative. But you need that. If things are just continually growing, there's no checks and balances, and things are going to get out of whack. You're going to have properties that are way overvalued. You're going to have businesses that are just borrowing more and more money just to stay afloat. And the economy, you know, then it becomes really catastrophic. You know, once that hits, you know, everything will topple. And so it's just a healthy cycling of the economy that's coming. But the benefit that I think, especially here in DFW, is that when that happens, it's not going to hit housing or real estate the same way. I think that it's going to be predominantly in the business sector. But it should be interesting to see how it pans out. I'm actually excited for it.
Oh, the opportunity is going to be there. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's kind of where we kind of bring it into, you know, millennials entering, you know, the housing market. According to realtor.com, you know, in January 2017, millennials actually surpassed Generation X as the group that was responsible for the most new mortgages. So that
flex
means that
on them.
We're getting into that housing market. You know, since then, in 2017, millennial shares of the mortgage market had just continued to rise. And by the end of last year, 2018, millennials represented 45% of all the new mortgages.
That's insane.
Compared to 36% for Generation X and 17% for baby boomers. So we are here. We are entering this. And that's, you know, encouraging that even despite millennials seeing, you know, what happened to their parents in 2008 and watching a lot of them lose everything just because they were over leveraged in real estate or whatever the case may be, that we're now doing that. And that's because we're entering the career space. We're really starting to take over in all these different avenues. And so housing, you know, naturally is going to be one of those. And, you know, research now on behalf of Ernst & Young, they actually conducted a survey of 20 to 36 year olds that were all U.S. citizens nationwide, and basically compared that to a survey that they had done previously. And basically all that it said was millennials are warming up to buying homes. They said that home ownership for millennials between the ages of 28 and 31 increased 27% from 27% to 47% in just 2 years.
That's a massive jump.
That's a huge jump. I mean, that's a large percentage of millennials starting to get into the game. And the ownership of those aged 32 to 36 increased from 46 to 57%. So that's, you know, people are really starting to buy homes. And that's a great thing, because a home is one of the easiest ways for your everyday American to actually generate wealth for themselves without getting into too many details. You know, you have things like appreciation, you have things like equity that are built up. You know, obviously you're paying down the mortgage, you get the tax write-offs, where you don't get any of that with renting. And so I wanted to throw some stats out there just for our listeners. You know, from 2014 to 2017, first-time home buyer, that segment increased by approximately 40% and accounted for more than 80% of the total home buyer market growth. So that first time home buyer, you know, they are now starting to realize that, hey, look, I can actually build wealth for myself, because the earlier that I get in, the more that I'll be able to grow over time. And according to the Census Bureau, over the next 10 years, millennials are expected to purchase at least 10 million new homes. And then they say even by 2060, it's estimated that our generation will have purchased more than will have produced more than 20 million first time homebuyers. So while the home ownership rate for young adults is currently, you know, lower than we'd like, with just over a third of adults under 35 owning a home, the potential for new home sales is high and increasing, which is, you know, that's encouraging. And according to a study released by the Urban Institute, the number of young adults aged 25 to 34 living with their parents increased from 12% in 2000 to 22% in 2017, amounting to an additional 5.6 million millennials who are shacking up with their parents. So the interesting thing there is people are actually getting out of renting altogether and living with parents. And, you know, a lot of millennials.
Sure, they love that.
Yeah, I mean, you get breakfast. Mom gets to, you know, tuck you in at night. You get to skimp on rent. Yeah, you know, that's a tough thing. But millennials, you know, they cite student loan debt, which is now over $1.5 trillion, which is ridiculous. I don't even want to get into the racket that colleges
are. That's another episode.
That's going to have to be another episode. But, you know, that continues to delay people getting into homeownership. And you know, millennials are deeply distrustful of traditional American institutions, preferring to rely on themselves as good education, end quote. And, you know, in an environment where technology has kind of infiltrated everything we do, you know, I understand part of that, right? We have access to more information than we ever have. So we can definitely do, you know, some self-educating. The challenge is, you know, and this is something that I tell a lot of my clients, a lot of people fall victim to believing everything that they see out there on the internet. You know, I call Googling a lot of things sometimes the WebMD syndrome. You know, when you have that pain in your arm and then you go to WebMD and all of a sudden, like four clicks later, you find out that you're dying in 4 days.
Yep.
That's kind of what happens, you know, with people going online and searching and trying to educate themselves. So it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing. You can make sure to supplement the education that you're getting, but you want to make sure that you're working with people that know what they're talking about.
Sources, man.
Exactly. You want to make sure that you're getting good information, that you're getting true value for whatever's particular to your situation, because there is no one size fits all. Every single person has a different situation and a different plan and different goals. And so that all factors into how we kind of go about that. So, you know, just to talk about millennials living, you know, moving in with their parents, according to, you know, that Urban Institute study, they said that life choice has long-term consequences. Those who opted to stay with their parents, to live with their parents, one, did not stash away enough cash to put down a larger down payment later when they decided to buy a house. Two, they were less likely to become a homeowner 10 years later than those who ventured out on their own earlier. And three, for those who did eventually buy their home, they did not buy more expensive homes, nor did they take on lower mortgage debt than those who moved out earlier. So a lot of times the conventional thing is, oh, I'm going to move in with my parents because it's going to allow me to save more money. It's going to allow me to put myself in a better position. But the reality is it still has the fundamental problem that most of these people are not getting the education that they need on how to build proper credit, on how to budget and financially save and be responsible. And so all it is delaying the inevitable, because one of the best, you know, things for me and I think for everybody is, you know, that trial by fire, learning by doing. A lot of people take failure as something that is final or something that is a bad thing. And honestly, the faster and sooner that you can fail, the faster and sooner that you're going to learn and be able to build on that and carry momentum. And so those who pursued home ownership later in life were actually worse off in the long run than those who jumped into it earlier. And research shows that those who buy homes earlier in life amass the greatest amount of housing wealth in their later years, with homeowners 25 and younger seeing the greatest return on their investment. And that just means delaying home ownership could have a really negative impact on your wealth in the long term. So make sure that you're talking to somebody that is helping make sure that you're on that right path and maximizing your dollar, your strategy, for the long term. You know, retirement is an important thing that we need to think about. And so housing is a great way to kind of set yourself up for that.
And you said it earlier. I mean, for the everyday man, everyday woman, the wealth creation that housing allows is bar none.
I mean, it's insane when you really look at home appreciation compared. You know, a lot of times people think renting, for example, it's, oh, my rent is $300 cheaper, you know, from day one, which may be true. But if you look at it in a 10-year window, let's call it, eventually, and probably somewhere around year five or six, if you're comparing, you know, comparable renting and home ownership, that rent is actually going to be more expensive. And it's going to be, you're going to be throwing away tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars in a 10-year window because you're thinking short term and just wanting to say, oh yeah, well, I don't have to, you know, worry about replacing my air conditioner. Oh yeah, it's $150 a month or $200 less right now. It's not really the right thinking. And, you know, it's very easy to get in a home, you know, these days. A lot of people think that it's super, super difficult, you know, let alone the popular myths of you have to have 20% down or even have 750, you know, credit scores. It's very easy to get in a home. And I think that it's increasingly becoming a factor that, you know, millennials are shying away of. But at the same time, there's been, you know, research that's been done that millennials are willing to you know, give up a lot to get in a home. Isn't that right?
It is. It is. And this literally just came out. So we're recording this early June here. This came out at the very end of May 2019. Little organization called the NAR came out with this.
Yep. And for those that don't know, NAR, National Association of Realtors, they are like the data source for real estate across the country. And
let's not confuse them with the NRA.
Right? Yeah, not the NRA. We're not out here, you know, packing heat. We're talking about real estate.
We might be.
Well, we might be. This is true. That's not what we're talking about. You're right.
And so here's what they said, man, and it's incredibly interesting. Some young adults are actually making sacrifices and lifestyle trade-offs to get themselves on that right path to home ownership. And this is according to a study done by a major bank. We're not going to get into exactly who did it. But the data that they got from this survey, man, 70% of young adults say they're willing to cut back on weekend activities. And this is, I mean, things like shopping, going to the movies, splurging at the spa, at least just once a month. If that meant they could purchase a home in the next 12 months, they would go ahead and do it. Wow. 70%.
That's pretty crazy. Because when you think about it in DFW, you know, a lot of what we do is, you know, eat, drink, shop, play. And so obviously, you know, there's a big opportunity to have an outflow of money on any given weekly basis or monthly basis. And for 70% of people to say, hey, yeah, we'll give up some of that to buy a house if that means we can do it in the next 12 months. The surprising thing is, you know, without even looking at any particulars, I would almost be willing to bet that of that 70%, probably 60% of those people wouldn't even have to wait 12 months. If they just did, you know, certain things in a 3 to 6 month period, they'd be able to buy a house. It's a lot easier than people think.
Oh, yeah. And now this should come as no surprise, or at least it did not surprise me in the least. But women tend to be more willing than men to adjust their lifestyle in order to achieve home ownership.
Well, I mean, women are smarter, right? Let's just be honest. Like they're smarter. They're more responsible. You know, it takes us a long time to kind of shake off the dust and grow up. Some say that, you know, we will never grow up, and I don't know if I ever will.
But, I don't want to.
I don't really want to. You're right. Exactly. So that doesn't surprise me at all either.
No. And so 71% of female respondents said they're willing to limit eating out once per week in order to set themselves up for success in those next 12 months.
I'm trying to think right now, if I was to stop eating out once a week, I'd probably have a nice little chunk of change at the end of 12 months. Not going to lie to you.
Well, let's do that math. I mean, what, you and I take our girl out. That's $100 a meal minimum.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Let's say that's just 5 days a week. That's literally $500.
Yeah, that hurts.
That's two grand a month.
We could even make that less. You could say even if you only did that one time a week.
Right.
And you did that. I mean, that's $5,200 at the end of the year if you just saved $100 a week.
There's by not closing out.
That takes care of it right there.
Literally your entire clothes.
And what's crazy is, like, you know, again, it's this particular, you know, specific, you know, situations and be happy to look at. I just helped a family get into a home last week for $3,400. They got into a $210,000 house. So that was more than cover what they needed to get into the house, which is pretty wild when you think about it.
So that's $3,400 that you did without down payment assistance, right?
Yeah, well, they got some down payment assistance, but that's all that they had to come out of pocket. So they didn't even have to not go out to eat, you know, once a week.
Right.
There was another 16 weeks that they got to enjoy that. So yeah. It's pretty crazy.
And so, I mean, all of these things that we just talked about, I mean, they're case by case, right? And this past month in May, we were literally able to get a family into a home in Keller at a 210 price point. And they got their earnest money back.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Now, that's not going to happen. That's not
all the time.
I mean, no. That's not the norm. But when you have the right team, both on the real estate side as the realtor, as the negotiation expert, and you have someone like you or I that knows how to structure deals the right way and create a successful mortgage, that's what's possible.
Well, and for a lot of people, you know, just keep this in mind for those of you that are out there listening, like getting to a home for the lowest out of money expense is not always going to be what's best for you. That's not going to be the thing that's going to put you in the best position to achieve your goals. That's just something that is a caveat. That's like, if we get into a situation where it's that tight, at least you're not holding up your home ownership opportunity and all the benefits that come from it. Because you're worried about finances. So, like, again, going back to what you were talking about, all that you have to do is make the little sacrifices, and 70% of people out there said that they would. So my whole thing is, like, let's do it. Like,
it's going to be a fun couple of years, man.
It is. Like, and I think it's just breaking down the myths and the walls and barriers that people have put up because they think that they understand how this whole real estate game works. If you're out there and you don't know, I highly suggest going out there and reading, picking up a book, going online, you know, doing some research, reaching out to us. We'll get you some resources so that you can learn to educate yourself. You know, one of the most popular books out there, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, basically it teaches financial principles and it also allows you to, you know, segue those into real estate. Instead of, you know, basically the main premise is the poor work for money. The rich have their money work for them. And so, you know, real estate is a great
vessel. Gold. Say that again.
The poor work for money. The rich have their money work for them. And real estate is a fantastic avenue for people to make that happen. That's part of, you know, that American dream, because ultimately what I tell people is, you know, the American dream is financial freedom, right? You know, for your case, you know, with your parents, you know, immigrating across into the United States, that homeownership
across the pond,
like the way that is the prototypical American dream, but not everybody's an immigrant, right? For those of you that are Americans that are from here, that are living in the DFW area, it's financial freedom. You don't want to have to go to work and worry about your paycheck. So real estate is a great way to start building that momentum so that over time, your real estate assets can pay you when you're sleeping and you don't need your job. That's what home ownership allows for you to start. And then, you know, like Mark said, it's working with individuals like us that can help build that game plan, build the strategies, and make sure that every step you take moving forward puts you on the best path to achieving whatever those financial goals are. So, you know, it starts again with just sacrificing the bullshit, you know, for lack of better terms, like the going out and getting hammered on the weekends, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you don't even remember what happened on the weekend, but you spent $500 in the club trying to pick up, you know, shorty over there that, you know, you maybe got her number and you didn't put her name in, you don't even remember what she looks like. So, you know,
it's not to say that's not a good time, right?
It could be a good time, you know, but I would much rather have a good time where I got money coming into my pocket while
ain't
I'm doing
the
other
damn
things.
Truth.
So, you know, it's just reframing the mindset about that. I think that's, you know, it's amazing that 70% of people said that they do it, because it's just like anything else. People say that they'll do something. It's a matter of just being disciplined enough to do it.
And what's even more encouraging in this article is they were able to confirm that millennials are ready to talk and hear more about real estate topics.
I love
and
that.
So more than two-thirds of millennial first-time homebuyers that were surveyed said that they want to talk more about home buying topics like affordability, like the home buying journey, what neighborhood options are out there, specifically with their friends and their family and their sphere. And so this clearly shows the value of the opinions and the knowledge of their peers. And the more we talk about it and the more we debate it, the more people are going to learn about it and be introduced to this opportunity that's out there.
Absolutely. Which gives us, you know, brings us back to why this podcast was started, was to open up that dialogue, to provide a resource for people to come get the information that they need, learn a little bit, get some facts, figures, and then take it and go out and better their lives and change it and really start to take action on the things that they're learning, which I think, you know, it's going to be encouraging what happens over the next 10 years and beyond.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I mean, it's crazy. Like we and I use the royal we as the millennials that we are.
Yeah.
We're way more ready financially than we think we are.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. You know, I was actually pulling something up. So, you know, let's talk about Dallas County, for example. So there are 2.59 million people in Dallas County. 1.14 million of them are currently renting their home or the place that they live. Out of that 1.14 million, there are 272,000 people that are renting right now that can afford to buy a house. And 51,000 of those are people that are aged 27 to 35 that can afford to buy a house that just don't know it or that are renting because they're afraid.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're a real estate agent that's listening to this and your eyes aren't like lit up right now and the juice is flowing, I don't know what's wrong. But the opportunity for us in the industry to give our fellow Texans the opportunity to, again, change the entire trajectory of their future, it's right here. It's right now.
And you know what's crazy on that too is back to the point of like a lot of people can afford and they don't realize it. We're not saying like that number, that 51,000 first-time home buyers from 27 to 35, that's basing it off of the average income, the median household income, which is right around, I think it's like $58,000 a year. So if you make $58,000 a year, you can afford to buy a house most likely. You know, it just depends on, again, particular situations. But that was just amazing to me when I found that out.
And so you say the 58,000 over the last couple of years, we're finding out the average income of a millennial, individual millennial, not household, is about 73,000 a year.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Pretty much makes it a no-brainer, guys.
It's silly not to.
It really is. It's silly not to at least have a conversation, figure out where you stand and what the best option is going to be for you. So hopefully this just piques your interest and, you guys reach out and start that conversation, because you could be costing yourself thousands and thousands of dollars over the next 30 years by not getting the ball rolling now.
And so if you guys want to talk more about this, by all means, reach out, engage with us online. Like we asked earlier, I mean, like, comment, share this information. I mean, it could change your life. It could change your brother, sister, cousin's, friend's life. And that's what we all want, right? Is we want to help each other succeed. And I think that's a common trait among us.
Yeah. And we're trying to break the mold, right? On that same survey that you had, they're saying that only 52% of millennial first-time homebuyers said that they felt financially ready. But we're saying that there's a lot more of you that can actually buy a home and are ready to do it. It's just a matter of getting that conversation started. So, I think that that was kind of a good introductory kind
and
of.
So we'll be educated, right? And I mean our peers, and so that's what I want to talk about next, right? Is where do we go from here?
Absolutely.
And so I mean we've got, you know this, and we all know this, in the DFW there is no lack of events that are happening every single day.
This is true.
But you and I, we care about education, right?
Yep.
And so. Next week, I just want to throw this out there, and this is more for our real estate partners. I'm putting on a Facebook ads class next Wednesday. It's going to be June 12th from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. It's going to be at Capital Title Frisco, and we're going to be teaching our real estate experts and our real estate partners exactly what they need to do to create Facebook ads to be able to start attracting these first-time home buyers to us, so that way we can get them started on that education path and make them ultimately successful in the path to home ownership. And so I'm pumped for this class. We're going to have some Facebook ads experts that are also going to be helping this out along with just me teaching the course. And so again, it's going to be at Capital Title Frisco, June 12th, Facebook ads. It's going to be put on from 11:30 to 1. And I really hope that I see somebody there.
And we teach, you know, that's just one of the many classes. At least, you know, we teach classes for your home buyers. So the home buyer education seminars, things like that to help educate you. So if you're interested in that, you're a listener and you're thinking about buying a home, reach out to us. We'll get you information on that. But then if you're an agent and you're thinking about marketing and getting better at that, we teach all kinds of different classes from branding to understanding more about these millennials that we're talking about. And how to really connect with our demographic and educate them and become that trusted advisor. And everything that's related to business management and helping grow your business. So reach out to us if you're curious about some different classes. I think every week we'll kind of let you know which ones are coming up. And then just to kind of pivot, just because we are talking.
Well, actually, before we pivot, I want to throw one more thing out there. You just reminded me, I feel like an idiot for not mentioning it earlier. I've got my next first-time homebuyer class. It's going to be the 19th. It's going to be at our office location. It's going to be after work hours, so that way we can maximize the amount of people that we can impact. And so that's going to be Wednesday the 19th. It's going to be at 15950 Dallas North Tollway, Dallas, Texas. Zip code, I believe, is 75248.
Yep.
And we're going to be going through step by step what it takes to become a homeowner and teaching you the ins and outs that we've been alluding to throughout this entire episode.
Yep. And so that's in North Dallas. If you are within an arm's reach of that, come join Mark as he teaches that class. And again, like I said, we're going to have many classes coming up. I wanted to also throw this out there. If you're into art, this Saturday, there is an art battle that is going down at the Deep Ellum Art Company. It's an event where paint flies and masterpieces are created before your eyes. 12 amazing painters. They put their skills to the test with only 20 minutes to try and turn a blank canvas into an incredible piece of original art. That will then be available for silent auction. So that, again, is going to be at the Deep Ellum Art Company this Saturday, June 8th, from 2 to 6 p.m. If you're into arts and you want to get out and just kind of mingle with the locals. So
that sounds like a good-ass time, bro.
I think it's going to be a good time. I think I'm going to be there. I'll have a beer in hand, I'm sure, and enjoying that. So
I'm sad I'm going to miss it. I'm going to be in Austin.
Well, that's okay. Austin is not a bad place to be. I think you'll be all right down there. but we want to thank everybody again for tuning into the first episode of the Metroplex podcast. Make sure that you tune in every week to learn more about all things relevant to the DFW Metroplex. Remember to do us a favor, share, like, comment this with your friends if it brings any value to you. And